Well, hallelujah. Well, do you have all that in your race car? An easy chair, air conditioning, refrigerator, HGTV. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think that's the right thing for a race car, is it? Hello? Anybody there? Anybody there? For a minute, I thought you guys would like those cardboard cutouts, you know, that they got in the stands for the sports players. Well, praise God. God is so awesome, and how amazing it is that as we go through life, you know, we are designed for a purpose, and the purpose is to represent the kingdom of God, that we would be the people of God, those who he has raised up for such a time as this, that we might have an impact on the world that we are a part of and that we are engaged in. And God has called us to be his ambassadors, his representatives. And it is the role of the Christian to live a life that is streamlined and is well-balanced and is effective for accomplishing the very thing that God has called us to do. So I pray that your life is in balance today and that you're not trying to accomplish the things of God with excess weight and excess baggage and focusing on the wrong things in your life, and that you will be able to have a right perspective so that you can properly represent the kingdom of God, and so that the Lord would be glorified and honored in whatever it is that God has called you to do. And so I pray that you are experiencing God in a powerful way. Amen? Well, praise God. Well, I know that it's an exciting time. Are you excited? Amen. Amen. Good. Hallelujah. It's great to be excited. And, you know, if you're not excited about things, then, you know, maybe you need to dig a little deeper so you can see more of what God is doing. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in all of the negative things that are happening around us. But when our hearts and minds are attuned to the Spirit of God and the things of God, we're able to see beyond what is the obvious and what is in front of us. We're able to see things from God's perspective. And God begins to reveal all of his truths and his ways to us, and even the things that he is doing. You know that is probably the biggest advantage that a Christian has, is that we have the ability to see things from God's perspective. And when you look at life from God's perspective, it changes everything about how we feel and interact and respond to the things that are happening in the world. And we know that it is the Word of God that has the power to transform people's lives. It is the only thing that is able to change hearts and minds and cause all things to come together for good. But we also know that we are wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We also understand that we are in a fallen world where Satan has dominion, and he is the ruling prince and power of the air. But God has navigated us and his people through this world so that we would be able to have different results in our life than the results people of the world obtain. And so we are in a place of benefit because God gives us a different perspective. And we're able to see and we're able to navigate through with a sense of peace, even love and joy in times of difficulty. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of God. The resurrected power of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit enables us to be able to experience the attributes of God when times are difficult, when times are troublesome. Anyone and everyone can be happy when there's happy things going on, when that's what you can see, when that's your environment and your atmosphere is one that is conducive to that. But the child of God, the Christian, has the ability to experience these attributes of God, of love and joy and peace and patience and all these things when times are difficult and actually working against you, you are able to persevere in these things. This is the advantage of being a child of God, of walking in the principles of God and His Word, empowered, enabled by the Spirit of God. And so as we are looking at the Word of God today, and we are talking about the fundamentals of the faith and having the ability to navigate the realm, you know, and it's so interesting how God has laid this out for us, and we know for a fact that it is the Lord who has given us, you know, these principles that we're talking about these days, because back in October when we were praying and fasting and asking God what it is that we should be dealing with when we get to the summer, this is what God gave us. And how awesome is that? I mean, how mind-blowing is it that this is so appropriate for these times? And I remember sitting in that meeting, and we were all nervous about what we should put down and what we should go with, because we knew from previous years' experiences that that whatever we ended up talking about seemed to correlate with what the experience would be during those times. So we were very prayerful about what we were doing and sensitive to that, so that we weren't just putting things down on the calendar. And so this is so awesome. And I happen to be thinking about that, you know, as I was coming up here. And so I don't know, I'm just kind of sharing it now with you guys, the thoughts that were on my mind. And so this is really powerful, navigating the realm. And who would have known that you would even need to know how to navigate the realm? But man, have we not needed to navigate this realm? Without proper balance and without a proper perspective, boy, I tell you, you can easily be overwhelmed with all that's happening with coronavirus and all these things that are happening, civil unrest and so on and so forth, and all the chaos and confusion and whatnot that's happening in government. And I can assure you that God enables His people to navigate the realm, that we are able to see things from a biblical perspective. So critically important, so critically critical, that we as the people of God have a divine perspective on what we are doing, one that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And so I would like to begin here in Acts chapter 2, using verse 42 as our key verse today. And it reads, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." And when I look at this verse, it really stands out to me. The first thing that impacted me was the fact that they were devoting themselves, and that's a very powerful statement or phrase. And then all these twos, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. These are essentials of the Christian faith. These are principles that we need to adapt in our own life. This is really the summation of that which is so important. It's vital to the health of the Christian, that we are continually devoting ourselves to these things. And without devotion, we will not survive or be capable of fulfilling our role and our call as the people of God. We will not be able to rightly represent the kingdom of God as we are called to do during challenging and difficult times. It will be easy to adapt and take on the mentality of the world around us. And so I would like to use as a theme today, two fellows on a ship. Two fellows on a ship. Now you're probably thinking, what in the world is that? And I don't know, but it's a very interesting phrase, two fellows on a ship. And it came to me, and so we're talking from the perspective of two fellows on a ship. And that is important, as you will see shortly. So are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Well, hallelujah. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. And we ask, God, that you would arise even in the midst of us, that you would sustain us and keep us. Help us, Lord, to have our minds stayed on you, focused on you, that your will and your ways and that your word would come alive in the midst of us, that we would hear your voice and follow you, that we would be able to be effective at carrying out the word of the Lord, that the word would actually bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives, that we would impact the people that you have placed around us, that we might be the ambassadors that you have called us to be. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing, for renewing our minds and strengthening us and enabling us to be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing greater than the Word of God, nothing more powerful than the Word of God. And it works like a medicine in our hearts, in our lives, as it renews our mind. And even as we are thinking about two fellows on a ship, I was thinking about what it takes to manage a ship. And a ship requires so many different people. And, anything that doesn't require a lot is probably not a ship. It's probably a boat. And there's a difference between a boat and a ship. And people who work or own or manage ships, they're offended when you call their ship a boat. And it's funny, but, they are. They're very sensitive to that word and the difference between the two. And a boat is something that is small that maybe one or two people can manage. But when you're talking about a ship, everything changes. A ship requires more hands on deck. And some ships require as little as 200 people, and others as many as 4,000 or 5,000 people. And that's because when you get to a ship requires maintenance and operators 24 hours a day. It needs someone to manage all of the different elements and aspects of the ship as it travels and as it manages and navigates the seas. There are shifts of people that have to always man their position, and the positions must be manned all the time. And so two fellows on a ship doesn't make much sense, because two fellows can't run a ship. Two fellows can't run a ship. It requires more than two. So if two fellows are on a ship, that means they're both doing way more work than they are able to do in an effective manner to manage the ship. And so the first responsibility of two fellows on the ship would be to recruit more help, to get more help, because what the requirements are greater than what two people can manage. And so God has called us to sail on what is traditionally known as the old ship of Zion. I'm sure you may have heard that phrase before if you've been around Christianity for a while. It's known as the old ship of Zion. And God has called us to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we have to work together in order to be effective at managing all that God has called us to do as we navigate the seas of life. As we go about the various challenges and difficulties that we face, even when the sea is calm, we need to be managing our posts. But when the storms come and the rains come and the challenging weather impacts our life, we need to have everyone managing their posts. And that is the challenge of the Christian life. The challenge of the Christian life is not so much when things are smooth sailing. because everything is kind of running smoothly. But when hardship and difficulties come into our lives, now it shifts everything. It changes everything. It causes us to react and respond differently than when things were sailing smooth. Two fellows on the ship have to get along well, especially when times get troublesome, when things are hard. Because I don't know about you, if you've ever been on a ship during a storm. I have. I was on a cruise ship once, and there was a storm had gone by just a few days before, but the seas were still rough, even after the storm had already passed. And I remember going, down, and you could feel your stomach going, you ever had that feeling before? You know that feeling? Oh, you're like, oh. Well, I tell you, we were on this cruise, and it was my wife and I, and Shari was like Leona's age a little, and everyone on the boat got sick. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody. When you went to the food stations, the workers were like this. It didn't matter where you went. You went anywhere on the boat. People were laying on the floors. You were step over people like this to get anywhere. They were in the lounging areas. They were all taken up with people. They were just like, And everybody was laying down. Everybody was sick. People, they gave out barf bags to everyone on the boat. Ship. Don't want to mess it up. On the ship. And so everybody was sick except Shari, who was running freely all around. And Bev and I were like, come back. Please, we can't chase you. And it was like she had to run in the ship. Nobody cared. Everybody was either laying on the floor or slumped over something. And so she's just hopping over people, and she's running all about because everyone was seasick. Everyone was experiencing this sickness from being on the boat. And this is why it's important to have everyone manning their stations when times are rough, when times are difficult, so that you have the resources at play, in the right order. And when you don't have enough resources, then you're going to find yourself struggling just to keep things going. And so we have to be able to be effective at managing the ship that God has given us to manage. And it requires all of us working together. If one of the two guys decides, I'm not going to do anything because you upset me or you said something I didn't like, then you're going to have trouble managing the ship. Oh, and that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to stir up discord between two required or necessary fellows so that the ship cannot function the way God has designed it to function. And so he often uses doubt. Doubt is often the very tool that Satan uses to keep you and I from being effective at doing the will of God. And so in Acts 2, 42 to 47, we see this kind of laid out for us so that we can understand just how important being connected with people are so that we can be effective at doing what God has called us to do, not necessarily when times are going good, but when things get difficult. You see, when things are going good, we should connect, because that's when you build the foundation for the times that become difficult. It's so often that we find that people, all of a sudden, they want prayer. All of a sudden, they want help. All of a sudden, they want the pastor or some brother or sister in Christ to jump to their beck and call all of a sudden because they have a crisis, they have a problem. But meanwhile, when things were going well, you couldn't find them. They were nowhere to be found. They weren't interested in helping out or being a part of Bible study. They weren't connected. They didn't come to youth groups. They didn't come to children's ministry. They didn't get involved in any of the resources that are required for us to grow and manage and have the right mindset as we live our Christian lives. And then in a crisis, we panic. And we're in a state of panic. And that is why it's so important to follow God's principles when you're in your right mind. When things are going well, you're preparing for the winter, for the rough season, for the difficulties and the challenges of life. This is why you have to be good to your kids while they're young, right? You have to be good to them while you're young. Because as you get older, you're going to need them more and more. And you'll find yourself laying in a bed with a machine or something, trying to breathe or needing help to go to the bathroom or do stuff. And you're going, where's my kids? Where are my kids? Nobody wants to help me. And that's going to be the challenge that you face. These are the things you don't think about when we're growing up. And you're like, come here, you little rascal. Come here. Didn't I tell you? Because I said so. They're writing all that down. Those kids are like, Yep. Yep, I was a little rascal. You made me do all that. He says, we'll see who the rascal is in 40 years. That's right. We'll see how much of a rascal I am. And so we have to. God has a way of balancing the ship, of keeping things in divine order. And that is why we have to train up our children in the way they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. You have to keep these things in mind. Or when you get old, you'll be in a home somewhere with some person neglecting you, leaving you out to dry. And that's the world we live in. And that is why we have to treat one another well. That's why the church is so important, that we interact and that we connect, because the church is the ship that enables everyone to have a healthy life experience. Even through the difficulties, even through the hardships that we face, God is able to sustain us and make a way for us. And the way he has done it is establish these principles that we see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they were continually devoting themselves. They were continually devoting themselves. I want you to think about that phrase. Continually devoting yourself. What do you continually devote yourself to? I pray that it is the things that we are about to dive into. And so let's first understand what this is saying. Well, it's this word here in the Greek, which is proskatereo, and it's two words. It's pros, and then it's katereo. And these two words together are what give us that dedication that we're talking about. And the pros means to move towards or to interact with. And then katereo means showing steadfast strength. In other words, nothing can move you. It's the idea that you're like anchored in a concrete footing, and no matter what comes against you, you're standing strong. So this is what it means to be, they continually dedicated themselves. They were in that place where they were not able to be moved or changed from these things. They were consistently showing strength is what it means. They were able to prevail even during times of difficulty, even when hardship came, even when things were working against us. It's the picture of a storm, and here we are trying to get where we need to go with the winds and the rain and everything coming at us, trying to keep us from going in the direction we want to go, but moving us in the direction of the storm. And this happens every time you decide you're going to serve God. Every time you decide you're going to obey the word of the Lord or do what is right, every time you make a commitment, you're going to find opposition rise up against you, because that is what Satan does. Satan opposes those who are trying to make a change in their life to move in the direction that God has called us to move. And so it's so important to understand who your enemy is so that you can fight against him. This is why people can't do what they say they're going to do. So many people have good intentions, but their intentions don't really amount to much because they don't have the power to carry it out. And if you don't have the power to carry something out, then that means you need to do something differently so that you can gain the strength that you need so that you can fulfill the very thing that you set in motion when you said you would do it. Because everything now falls into place based on what we all say we are all going to do. And everyone on the ship has a role to play. Everyone on the ship of your life has a role to play. We interact with each other. We connect with each other. And we have to have steadfast strength so that we can persevere to accomplish the thing that we say we want to do. And this is what the Spirit of God enables us to do. This is what God enables us to do. And so this is pointing out in this verse that it's the apostles' teaching that they were dedicated to. In other words, the Word of God. The Word of God has to be central in your life. You must be a person who meditates on the Word of God. It is the very thing that enables all these other things to happen. Everything is built off of the Word of God. When you have a right relationship with the Scripture, when you're spending time meditating on the Word of God and reflecting on the Scripture, that's when change from within begins to take place. You ever know Christians that they're the same now as they were 5 years ago? They're the same people that they were 5, 10 years ago. They don't change. They still got those same little quirks and idiosyncrasies in their life. They're kind of like, you know, they're just basically stagnant in their lives. And that's what happens when the Word of God is not active in your life. When you're meditating on the Word of God, the Scripture says we should meditate on the Word of God day and night. That means consistently dedicating ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We need to reflect on it. Why? Because it's working in us like a medicine. The Word of God is powerful, as we know from Hebrews, right? It is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, we know Christians like to quote that all the time. But the idea is that it's the Word of God that quickens us. When you meditate on the Word of God, it begins to do something in you, like when you take your medicine. You ever know people who are on medication, right? And then they go off their medication? Well, you know, when you go off your medication, you know, you think everything is going all right. But people around you start going, And sooner or later, it becomes obvious to everybody, dude, you need to be back on your medication, right? You need to get on your medication. And there comes a point in our lives when, as Christians, it is obvious that we are not in the Word of God. The Word of God works like a medicine in us. It is the thing that stabilizes us when the winds begin to blow and when the storms come, when the challenges and the difficulties of life come, or when all of these things that happen in the world around us and it seems like it's coming at us, we are able to maintain a divine perspective because the Word of God is working in us like a medicine. And when we meditate on the Word of God comes to life to us. We're reminded of it. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what the Word of God says. That's what he does. That is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He is our paracletus, our legal advocate. He is the one who comes alongside us, and he speaks to us, and he gives us direction, and he guides us. And God says, if you don't have, ask. And if we ask, the Holy Spirit will give to us liberally so that we are able to experience the power of God in the times of difficulty. But you have to dedicate yourself to the apostles' teaching. That means when the winds come and you say, I'm going to spend time reading my Bible, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to get up a little early, I'm going to spend time reading the Word of God, I'm going to pray, get my day started right, or I'm going to take a lunch break at lunchtime, I'm going to spend time in prayer or in the Word of God, or just before bed or in the evening, or maybe around the table with the family or with the kids, we're going to share a passage of Scripture. All these are things that we should be doing as Christians, and we're spending time with the Word of God. We're cultivating a family environment around the Word of God, and the Word begins to work in the hearts of our children. It begins to work in the hearts of our spouses. And the Word of God is the only thing, it is the only thing that will change your heart and renew your mind. You will never have a renewed mind, a godly mind, a godly perspective. You will never have or achieve the things of the Spirit of God without the Word of God dwelling richly within you. We must have it. It is the medicine for mankind. It is the very thing that transforms us from the inside out. I am a witness to how this will drive you. The Word of God will lead you to fellowship. People who are not in the Word do not value fellowship. They do not value the coming together. Why? Because they don't have the agents of the workings of the nutrients of God's Word working within them to pull their perspective together so that they're seeing from a divine perspective. They're only seeing from an earthly perspective. And they have no problem skipping on the things of God or being around the people of God or seeing the importance of that divine connection because they lack the power of God's Word working like a medicine in their heart. You see, the Word of God is what renews us and transforms us. It's more than just knowing all the right stuff. There's a reason the Word of God says to meditate on His Word day and night, because it does something. Something happens within us. It cultivates, it stirs, it feeds us. It brings health to your body, the Word of God says. And if we want healthy bodies, we need to meditate on the Word of God. God will help you with your physical condition. The Spirit of God will work within you. And so the Word of God will bridge the gap between the earthly realm and the realm of the Spirit. Bridges the gap between the earthly realm and the realm of the Spirit, bringing the two together. That is what the Word of God is. It is the very attributes or the very power of God that was spoken to bring forth life. The Word of God brings life. That's what it does. Every time God speaks, there's life in what He says. This is how He created the heavens and the earth. It was by the words that He was spoken. Jesus Himself, He said, now you are cleansed by the words which I'm speaking to you. And so it is the Word of God that will cleanse you, that will renew you, that will revive you. But you'll never know this until you abide in the Word of God. It will change your life. It will lead you to the fellowship. Fellowship is based upon the workings of the Word of God in people's hearts and minds. And when the mind is being transformed and renewed by the Word of God, the heart is being conditioned and transformed by the Spirit of God, and it enables you to come together. It's the word koinonia. The word koinonia, it means to partner with God or to be in community, in God's community. You see, if God is Spirit and they who worship Him in spirit and in truth, then that means those who are to have fellowship must also operate in the Spirit and in the truth of God's Word. These elements come together, which enable community. And that is that working of the koinonia of God, the Greek for fellowship, that enables us to be drawn in together. The Word of God will cause you to be hungry for the things of God. I never forget how when I became saved, my whole goal was to just have a relationship with God. Because, you know, I wasn't a fan of church people. I didn't like church. I didn't like church people. I didn't think that it was, you know, all that. And I just didn't want to be bothered. And I didn't even want to go to church. My family grew up. I was going to church every week. My father would wake us up on Sunday morning. He'd be smacking me with a pillow, shaking me. And, you know, I would have been up late the night before hanging out with my friends and doing all kinds of God knows what. And he really does. And and then I had to get up to go to church on Sunday morning early. And I just didn't want to do it. But I came to a point where the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I found myself just reading the Bible. I went to Word of Life Bible Camp in Schroon Lake, and my family, my mother bought me a Bible to take with me. And it was a really cool Bible. I loved it. It had a zipper. Yeah, it was really cool. I said, wow, oh, this is nice. And my own Bible with a zipper. I know, it's crazy. I don't see them around that much, but it was just something cool about it. And then the pages, when you would open up, it had that smell to it. You know that new Bible smell? Oh man, it was leather. It's real nice. And the pages were the rice paper, real thin. And when you turn the pages, it would go. Yeah, it was nice. Really nice. I said, wow, this is nice. And I loved it. And I had it for a good while. And then one day, I decided I'm going to read my Bible. And I just decided I was going to read it. And when I started reading it, I started to fall in love with it. I said, man, this is great. I started to feel good. I didn't have any idea what I was reading. But I would just read it anyway, and it made me feel good. And I said, wow, okay. And I just started to read it and started to take it in. And then I didn't even realize that God was doing something within me. God was transforming my heart. He was renewing me from the inside. And all of a sudden, as I was taking in the Word of God, I started to become hungry, and I wanted to talk about Jesus. I just wanted to talk about all the things that I was reading. I just wanted to share. I don't even know why, but I felt like I wanted to talk. And so I decided I was going to share the gospel with my friends. And so I went to a Full Gospel businessmen's meeting one time with my mother, and they were giving out Bibles, and somehow my mother got a whole bunch of them. And so we brought them home, and I had a whole bunch of these little orange Good News for Modern Men. Have you ever seen these before, these little Bibles? Little Good News for Modern Men, a little orange Bible. And I took it one time to a party that I went to. Hallelujah. And so there I am. I'm at the party with the music going on, and you know, and you know, everybody was doing their thing, and everybody's there, and you know, the lights are down dim, and they got the smoke going in the room, and everybody's there doing their thing. They're drinking and carrying on, and I'm thinking, I've got to give these Bibles out. Oh yes, it was just the most. It is the most bizarre experience. And to this day, I remember that feeling, how it was like I was like double dutch, like I was like waiting for a chance to jump in. You know how in double dutch, you jump wrong, you get smacked with the rope, you know? So I'm thinking, I knew I showed up. You know, everybody showed up with booze and drugs and all kinds of random stuff that they wanted to do, taking turns around the bong hit, you know? And so it was the 70s, right? This is the late 70s. So there they are. Here we are, like in this room, and I got this bag of Bibles. And so finally I just said, I'm just gonna do it. And I just get up, and everybody's like hanging around and listening to music, talking and kind of doing their thing. And I'm like passing these out, and here, have one of these. Here. I'm giving around, and you know, finally they're like, Michelle, what's up with this? What is this? Because it doesn't say the Bible on it, it says Good News for Modern Men. That's what it says. And so I'm giving these out, and then so all of a sudden, you know, one of my friends says, "Hey man, you know what is this? What are you giving me?" I said, "Oh, well, these are little gospels, New Testament Bibles." And you're like, "Bibles?" Everybody was like, "Bibles? What?" I said, "Yeah, we're gonna read. I'm gonna read something out of this. I want you to follow along with me." Because I came across this. I happened to be reading this, and I thought it was really cool. So I thought I would share it with you. And so I started to read, and I started to share about how you can be born again, you know, with Nicodemus and the whole thing in John chapter 3. And so I'm talking to them, and I'm thinking, you know what, you know, I'm just going for it. So I went and I shared the gospel with these guys, and they're like, wow, man, it was like cool. And it was like kind of dead after that, just quiet. Everything got really quiet. And I got them to turn down the music and everything, you know, and everything. And I was like, all right. And then after I was done, they were like, are you done? I was like, yeah. And they turned the music back on. All right, yeah, thanks, man. That was really cool, man. Thanks. Thanks. You know, so I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, it's great. So I didn't think much of it, you know, after that. But I knew that I felt I needed to share it because of the word of God being stirred up in me. And the short end of the long story is that out of that, at least three of the people that were in that room during that event are now saved. They are now have given their lives to the Lord. One of them is a pastor, and the other two are serving the Lord. And so, you know, the word of God doesn't return void, and we know that God has a purpose in everything, but the word of God will compel you to do stuff that you don't think you would do. God causes us to be in that place where we're able to break bread and to gather together in fellowship with God so that we can even pray. Fellowship provides opportunity for us to know what each other's needs are so that we can pray and stand in the gap for the things of God. You know, if this stuff wasn't real, then we wouldn't be here talking about this. I can assure you, if this was not real and was not true, I would not be here because I was on a whole different trajectory for my life. And I can tell you that it is the power of God and his word that changes your heart and your mind. It's like medicine in your life. It will renew you. The first thing Satan wants to do in a Christian's life is separate them from the word of God. So you don't have the very power in you to bring about the attributes of God. It is the word that changes everything. God works within us like a medicine. It goes on here in verse 43 that says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And so God is at work in this community of believers, in this group, because of the word of God being stirred and being taking root in their hearts and in their minds, even to the point where not only were they in church together, but they were going from house to house. It says in verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were sharing their lives together. They were interacting with each other. This is why you keep your house in order, right? Because, you know, how do you entertain strangers if you don't have your house in order, right? The word of God tells us that we should be careful how we entertain strangers, lest we entertain angels and not realize it. And so if God is calling us to prepare ourselves so that we can connect, so that we can interact, you know, your home ought to be a micro cosmo of the church, so that your that whole atmosphere, that whole realm that is of your home or of church is at your home also. So your home is like a mini church. It's a place where you're establishing the atmosphere and the presence of God, where the word of God is being cultivated, where worship is going on, where you're able to break bread and share your lives with the people. God brings people into your life. The friends that you have are not just friends because you make friends with them for no reason. It's so that God can be presented to them, so they can have an experience of God, so that the Lord can be glorified and honored in their lives. It says, day by day they continued. This is something we must be able to do. We must be dedicated to a daily walk with God, communing with God through his word. It is the one tool that God gives us that has power to turn everything in a person's life around. The word of God. When the word of God goes to work within us, the Spirit of God begins to cause it to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so verse 47 says, They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And saints of God, in order to be a part of the fellowship, if you are following these principles, you will be able to get along with anybody. You'll be able to get along with everybody. It's always challenging and difficult when you see people who can't get along. People who can't get along are people who are not abiding in the Word of God. They're not abiding under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They are carnal-minded and operating in the flesh. And the reason people are carnal-minded and operate in the flesh, they operate according to their feelings, it's because they're not abiding in the Word of God. The Word of God will cause your feelings to be transformed. You see, anybody who's in social sciences or services will understand that you are affected by the way you think. You see, the way you think will impact how you feel. And if your thinking is off, then your ways will be off. Your feelings will be off. And that is why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans, right? And we have to change the way we think. The purpose of the Word of God is to change the way you think. If you think your thinking is okay, that's a sign that you are not in the Word of God. Because if you were in the Word of God, you would know your thinking is not God's thinking. You would know that your thinking and your ways are not like God's ways. In fact, the Word of God says they're as far from each other as the east is from the west. And so we have to spend time meditating on the Word of God, letting the Word of God renew us and transform us, because it's the foundation of that comes forth. Everything else comes out of that. Everything comes out of the Word of God. When God spoke the Word, the world was created, right? He created the heavens and the earth. God spoke, and everything came into existence. And it is the Word of God that messed up Adam and Eve, isn't it? Wasn't it the word of Satan that was believed over the Word of God? And that's the same principle that's happening today. People will believe the word of Satan over the Word of God. What is the word of Satan? The word of Satan is any word that goes against or is contradictory to the Word of God. If God says that if you eat of this fruit and you will surely die, and the Satan comes over and says, who said you would die? You won't die. You'll just have knowledge of good and evil just like God. You see, that's what Satan does. And when you say God created the heavens and the earth and you say all these things, and then somebody else comes along and says, nah, you came up out of a one-cell amoeba that came up out of the sea, and you know, you're a monkey, really. And you believe that over the Word of God? Well, good God. That takes more faith to believe than just believing God did it. Especially when there is zero evidence to stand behind that. Nothing. But if you say it over and over again, what do they say about lies? If you say them over and over again, sooner or later, everybody starts to believe it. And government uses that all the time, happening right now. And that is why we need the Word of God. The Word of God will renew you. And Christians are so gullible, and they're being messed up as we go through this realm that we're in, because they do not know the Word of God. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you do error because you don't know the Word of God. You don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. And those are two things every Christian must be familiar with. The Word of God and the power of God. The Word of God and the power of God, aka the Holy Spirit's workings and his abilities. You must become familiar with it. You must have a relationship with God in such a way that you become aware of all of these things, so that you, regardless of what is happening, you're in the midst of the fellowship. It brings balance to your life so that all of your needs are met. The church is the place. When you're a member here, I can't speak for every church, but when you're a member here, all of your needs will be met. All of your needs will be met. And if you have challenges and you have difficulties in your life, the church stands with you. You do not stand alone. The church stands with you. And there are many, I'm sure, who could testify. And so the church is, the purpose of the church is so that everyone who's attached or a member connected to the church, that their needs would be met to help bring balance and stability to families' lives when things are difficult, when things are challenging. You see, there are things that you might be able to say to my kids that I can't say to them. It just doesn't seem like there's boop, 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 boop. But if you say it, they get an epiphany. It's like, oh, so-and-so told me that. I'm like, what? Right? But if we have each other and we're all rooted in the Word of God, God has a strategy to get around all of that craziness that's out there. And God knows all of these things. And we're able to experience God in a powerful way. So they were praising God. The Word of God will lead to fellowship, having all of your needs met, so that even in times of difficulty, you can praise God. That's what God wants. He wants you to have a life of celebration, a life of thanksgiving, a life of praise. You ought to be worshiping and praising God. That's why I always ask, are you excited? Why? Because God should have done so many cool things in this past week, from last Sunday to this Sunday, where you have seen the hand of God that you just can't wait to tell people about it. Hallelujah. Because God is always doing things. He's always doing something. The question is, are you aware of it? Do you see it? You see, people who are in darkness always show evil that's going on. That's why when you put on the news, all you hear are people complaining and talking about all the bad things that are happening. You would think, with all of the good things going on in the world, why don't you hear any of that stuff? Well, you don't hear any of it because people in darkness can only see what's in the darkness. But when you have the light of God, you shine the light on things, and you're able to see what God is doing. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever should be that the unbeliever is looking at what the devil is doing and caught up in that, and the people of God are looking at what God is doing and they're celebrating that. And that's the difference between the life of a believer and the life of an unbeliever, because one who genuinely believes and trusts in God, who genuinely has faith in God, is able to see that God is the captain of my ship. And I'm looking at the sea and it's going up and down, it's going on, but I don't know, man, there's some kind of stabilizer on this thing. I mean, I feel a little rocking, but you know what? I'm not going down. I'm able to navigate the storm because of the Word of God anchored and rooted in my life. That is what is so exciting, so that we're seeing God bring forth prosperity in our lives. And so in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. Hallelujah. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Can you see that? Can you see that? When someone goes down, you have someone there, they can help you up. But if you don't have anyone there and you go down, then you're down, you drown, right? It's over. You don't have anyone to help you. If you can't help yourself, then who's going to help you? That's why the Bible says, you know what people say, the Bible says the Lord helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? You know, that's not even true. That's not even in the Bible. Not even in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that. That's not even a principle that God uses. God helps those who can't help themselves. That's what the Lord does. He's just waiting for you to come to a point where you call on him and say, I can't do it myself. So once you get to the place where you say, God, I can't do it by myself, I need help, then the Lord says he will help you. And so the call of God on the believer and on the people of God is to come to that place where we realize that we're here to be helpers of one another. And to be a part of the fellowship, to be a part of the church, is important because it helps every aspect of the human life experience from birth to the grave to have balance. And so that you can live a life fruitfully and productively in such a way that God is glorified and God is honored. And that will transcend anything that your life experience would be. I can assure you the power of God just being in an atmosphere where the people are loving, patient, kind, and gentle will change your life. It will change your life because many homes aren't even like that. People go home and there's yelling and cussing and swearing. I'm talking about Christian homes. And this is why their kids grow up going, I don't know about that Jesus stuff. Why? Because their parents are hypocrites. And they go home and they live a cardinal life as if God doesn't exist, and yet they're dragging their kids to church on Sunday. And you can't do that because that's out of balance. Because God has called us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will begin to see the workings of the Holy Spirit of God. Many kids are messed up because the parents messed them up by not representing Christ in their house. You see, it's great to be in the church, and I'm an advocate of that. But you need to have Christ when you get home. You need to have Christ on your job. That's why your friends don't want to hear about Jesus from you, because they don't see Christ in you when things go haywire at work. They need to be able to see Christ. They need to see the love of God. They need to see the patience. Wasn't it Gandhi who said, "You show me a Christian who's really living as a Christian, and I'll become a Christian myself"? That's what Gandhi said, right? So if we are living and applying the principles of God's word, we will see godly results. If daddy doesn't come to church every Sunday and do what's right before the Lord, why would the son come? Why would he do it? Because whatever the father does, that's what sons tend to do. Same thing, mothers and daughters. It's the same kind of thing. And whatever there's, you know, we all know kids don't listen. They just watch and learn. We all know they don't listen. You tell them, go clean your room, they're like, yeah. And they get like that, because if they go to your room and your room's not clean, then you kind of have a hard, convincing authority in their life, because you're saying one thing and you do something else. And so we have to make sure that we are experiencing God in a genuinely biblical manner so that it can overflow into the lives of our children. And when you are genuine at home, your whole house will be impacted. And isn't that what the scripture says? It says, "Thou shalt be saved and your household." Well, saints of God, that is what is the key to having a lineage that progressively grows in God. Otherwise, you're going to find your kids going off the deep end, believing some cockamamie story that they get in college from a bunch of people who are making stuff up as they go along because they just don't want to believe the Bible. And then they all agree through the council of credential that this is what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And everybody's saying the same thing. And everybody's, now you're in a world where you think that what the word of God says is no longer true, or it never was true. And that's because the world is filled with deceptions. That's what Satan does. He is the master deceiver. Wait till the elections come on November. The master deceivers rise up. And if we are not careful as the people of God, we have to be sure that we are seeing and hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It is the difference between life of success and a life of drudgery. You will not be able to have victory in your life without the word of God and being in the midst of the fellowship. It is the thing that enables us to have balance in our life. In verse 25 of Hebrews 10, it says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." What day is he talking about? The day of Christ, when Christ is to return. If you watch the internet enough, or you're on the internet enough, you can't, if you got into Christian stuff, you're always going to run into somebody who's saying, "Jesus is coming back, you better get ready. They have the Antichrist and all these things are happening," even though it's not quite there yet. But we are on our way. And so we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that the word of God is working in our lives, and that the Spirit of God is working in us and cultivating in us, so that we're not forsaking the gathering together. Why would God say, "Don't forsake the assembling of the gathering together"? It's because there's power in it. It's what enables us to be refined so that we can see what God is doing, so that we're not caught up in what the world is doing. We're able to gather together and hear the stories and the testimonies about what God is doing. And when I hear your story, and I hear your story, and I hear your story, and your story, and I go throughout the week, and I'm hearing everybody's story of what God has done this past week, man, I feel, and I'm energized for next week, aren't I? Now I feel like, oh man, I got to start looking, because I know God is doing things. And when you know God is doing things, you're able to have faith in God. And so that's the thing that all of this fellowship brings about, faith in God. It will increase your faith in God. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. This is why I don't hang around my friends anymore that I used to go to the parties with. Hallelujah. I stopped hanging around with them. After I got saved, I realized, man, this is something up. Something's not right here. And I gave it up. Nobody even told me that. I just knew something wasn't right. And I had to give it up. And I let them go. But I did give them all Bibles, though. So you heard that. I made sure they all got Bibles. And they all heard about Jesus. I made sure I told them all. And I shared Christ with everybody. And I had the chance. And even if I couldn't actually have a conversation with them, they all got Bibles so they could read it for themselves. So the opportunity was there. And so this is what God is calling us to do. Surround yourself with people who are doing what you're doing. Listen, don't surround yourself with people who have Bebe's kids. I know that's old, but y'all may not remember that. You remember that movie, Bebe's Kids? Right. Oh, my Lord. Woo, Jesus. We got a lot of people that have Bebe's kids in the church. And you can't surround yourself with people like that. You have to surround yourself with people who have kids who have grown up in a way that you would want your kids to be like. Because otherwise, you're going to be connecting with people who failed at raising kids, and your kids are going to end up taking on those kids' attributes like them because you made them, they're friends with those guys. And you don't want that. You want to make sure you're in balance. That's why you have to be a part of the fellowship. How do you know how to speak into a kid's life? Well, you may not know, but somebody else may have. Somebody else may be able to. The opportunity for someone else to speak into your kid's life, to help them become grounded in the things of God so they can have a divine perspective on life and be able to have balance as they grow up and as they pursue their lives, we'll know that God was at the root of them and you will see the difference. There's a big difference between those who apply that principle and those who don't. And so bad company will definitely corrupt good morals. Verse 34 says, become sober-minded. If you're not, become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame, Paul says. So the idea is that you have to get yourself right. Whatever you got going on in your life that's out of order, it's out of balance, make things right. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. That's what the first command is. Why? Because sin hinders you from God. It hinders God's working in your life. It's like kryptonite that stops or shuts down the flow of God's provision or his working in our lives. And that is why we have to come to that place where we are repentant before God. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? You see, this is why we cannot partner with unbelievers. The Word of God says we're partners with God. You can't be a partner with God and then say I'm a partner with somebody who's got a mentality that is rooted in the fall of man, or who's got a carnal mind, somebody who's operating under demonic inspiration or influence. We have to make sure that we are following the plan of God so that we are able to experience the light of God and see that cultivated in our lives. He says, or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Belial is a demonic entity. It is a false god, a demon spirit. And he says, what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And the obvious is none. There is none. And that is because our responsibility is to bring the gospel, to share the word of God with people, but not to be influenced in our lives by them. So he says, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Saints of God, that's you and me. This is the relationship between you and I and the Lord. God has called us to all together, working together, interacting together, like two fellows on a ship. We're there, we're helping each other to find their place and work in the kingdom of God so that they can grow and we can grow and we can mature and our children and our children's children, and there can be a working of the Spirit of God so that people's lives are transformed and the power of God is exemplified. So verse 17 says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Do you see that? Come out from amongst unbelievers. Stop partnering with them. Be separate, says the Lord. He says, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. You want God to be welcomed into your life? Do you want God to be welcomed into the things that you're doing and the things that you're trying to accomplish in your life? Then you must come clean before God. You must separate yourself before the Lord and allow God to transform your life from the inside out. He says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Interesting phrase there, isn't it? It tells us that we must confess our sins to one another. That's the last thing people want to do, is confess their sins to somebody. People don't mind confessing to God, but people don't want to confess to one another. But when you confess to another person, it comes off of you. It's liberating. It sets you free. And it opens your heart before God. And then God can do a miracle in your life. He can work within you. When you try to hide it or you try to cover it from people as if you're not in sin or you have no sin, then it says that you are literally building a barrier between you and God. God says you have to be able to confess. You have to be able to admit. You have to be able to acknowledge your shortcomings, your weaknesses, whatever your problem is, whatever your hang-up is. You need to be able to confess that so you can get free from it. It's the confession leads to salvation. Isn't that right, Romans, right? Confession leads to salvation. And so we share. That's not to say you go around telling everybody all your sins. No, we're not saying that. But we're saying that you ought to have at least one or two people in your life that you can share some private personal things with so that you can get it off of you, just to release it so that you can confess and get free so that you might be healed. You see, God wants to heal us. But the purpose of confession is prayer and then healing. It's confession, prayer, and healing. It's not confession and then gossip. It's confession and prayer. And so that's where you got to be careful. Because if you share your sins with somebody who's going to go and gossip, that you picked the wrong person. So you want to confess to somebody who's going to pray and stand in the gap. But the only way to know who those people are is through the fellowship. Why? Because by their fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. And so finally in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And so fellowship will cause all those rough edges in our lives to be smoothed out. All those little idiosyncrasies that we all have will get ironed out. And we will all experience some correction and molding and adapting as we go through our lives. Some of the greatest experiences in my life have been with the people of God bringing correction in my life. Hallelujah. It's been annoying, but it has been beneficial. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, my staff here is always sharpening, trying to get the rough edges, smooth in my life. And I appreciate it. And it's a lot of fun because I get to hammer and chisel them too. So we hammer and chisel each other, and we try to establish an atmosphere where the love of God is at work and we can grow and mature in our walk with God. Our iron sharpening iron. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How can you have someone to share your burden if you don't have a relationship with people? If you're not connected in the body, it's so important to experience the provisions of God. So Therefore, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5 says, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Saints of God, where are you going to get this kind of encouragement other than being a part of the fellowship? When you're a part of the fellowship, we're always reminded, we're always encouraged. We can be encouraged. We can be excited. We can be have joy in our lives simply because we have one another to keep our focus in the right place and in the right direction. We walk by faith and not by sight. Big principle, saints of God, a big principle. A lot of people talk about it. It's a whole nother thing to live it. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't allow the things that you see going on in the world around you hinder you from your fruitfulness in God. Make sure you're able to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing in your life, and surround yourself with people who can help you learn how to grow to do that. And sometimes it's just a matter of spending time. It's time that builds relationships. Spending time cultivates relationships. And so, as James 1, 5, and 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Hallelujah. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And that is why you can't just live your life like two fellows in a ship. You must be able to have a full crew and a full staff of people around you where each one is playing their part, is carrying their load, and together we're able to manage our lives and successfully live as the ambassadors of Christ that we have been called to be, and we're able to, regardless of what's going on in the world around us, we're able to have balance. And so as Timothy says, therefore I want the men of every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Don't let Satan divide you from your ability to worship, separate you from the provision of God, from your ability to glorify God, to experience the power of God. Don't allow dissension to hinder you from the things of God. Dissension equates to doubt, to coming to a place where you are doubting what God can do. And so as this last passage says, Acts 2:42, says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. To the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, to prayer. These are the elements that we need in our lives. We need the Word of God. It is the foundation that compels us into a place of fellowship to commit and to be faithful and reliable despite the opposition that will try to keep us from committing, to keep us from being effective, from getting there, from being a part, and that we would be able to break bread, share our lives from house to house together, and to pray that God would give us victory and success in every aspect of our lives, health and strength, wisdom, guidance, and direction by the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, I know a place where we can go to lay your troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. You come alive, living water that makes the dead to life. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Washed by the water, washed by the water. Rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river.
You will be changed.
Let's go down.
power of God's Word, and that you are allowing the workings of the Holy Spirit to be cultivated in your heart and being a renewed mind overflowing into the decisions and the ways of your life, that you are able to persevere in doing right. Don't allow Satan to rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your patience, of your gentleness and kindness and all the things that cause you to represent the kingdom of God. But allow the workings of godly fellowship to stir together all these ingredients so that you can be impactful when it comes to representing the kingdom of God. Let God use you this week. As you go out with determination. Be determined to fulfill the word of God, to be faithful to God, to walk with Him every day, to spend time in prayer, interceding for each other's needs, and to understand that God has called you to be a part of a vast ship of Zion that needs everyone to be carrying out their purpose, that God's will can be done. I pray that you know the Lord is operating in your life and that you have surrendered your heart to Him. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would ask Him to come into your life. If you would simply pray and say, God, forgive me for my sin. Lord, I ask that you would come into my heart, change my life, renew my mind. I desire to live for you, to serve you, to do all that you have called me to do. My prayer is that, God, you would make me a man of God, a woman of God, the one that you have called for such a time as this, to use me to be an example to unbelievers. Help me, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And that's a prayer you can pray, and you can put it in your own words. But I pray that you call upon the name of the Lord, because if you do, He will deliver you. He will set you free. God is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine. All you need to do is trust in the Lord. All you need is to have eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and you will see the divine workings of the Spirit of God and the provision of God in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, I pray for each and every one who is here today and those who have engaged with us through media. And I ask, oh God, that you would fill our hearts and renew our minds, that your power and your glory would be evidenced everywhere we go. Let your Holy Spirit, oh God, charge us and compel us through the Word of God to be the witnesses that you've called us to be, that we might be your ambassadors. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you today. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would be upon you and that the Holy Ghost would breathe upon you, strengthen you, and enable you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. And thank you for coming out to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah. Come on.
Living water that brings us into life. Current that moves and makes you come alive.